You see, what Mike did is he listened to his friend. He connected the Bible story with her story. And then when he connected with her friends later, it was about God and connecting to them. It wasn't about making a presentation or convincing them anything. And as a result, they recognized it as true and right.
Welcome to the CDM Podcast, a production of Contagious Disciple Making. We exist to catalyze movement through coaching, community, and communication. We created this podcast to help everyday Christians become world-changing disciple makers.
Hi, I'm Paul Watson, and this is Rebecca Ewing. You are listening to the CDM Podcast. Today's conversation is all about having deep discovery conversations with other people, specifically people who do not yet know Jesus.
And really, overall, what we're trying to do is, how do we even have conversations that actually go anywhere? Mm-hmm. We're kind of used to a lot of, first off, let's just be honest, a lot of our first world Christianity doesn't actually help us know how to be able to talk to people about Jesus. And if they do, it's always with the end in sight of they need to accept Jesus right then, or right, something like that. Is that, how do we have conversations with people and that lead somewhere, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to accept Christ there, or I don't know where we go from here. So when we're talking about movement methodology, when we're talking about disciple making methods, where we're headed with our conversations, instead of having them receive Christ at the moment necessarily, is guiding them into a discovery Bible process, guiding them into reading the Bible for themselves to discover the God of the Bible there.
Right. And I think a lot of the times these conversations naturally flow out of people, but we're not aware of what is happening. And so we're not able to respond with a next step that would help them further down their journey. We're just sitting there listening. We're having this conversation. They can actually say something pretty important that reveals where God has them in their spiritual journey, but we miss it because we don't have a way to clue into what is going on. And we haven't thought through ways to help them take the next step. We don't know how to respond ourselves.
Overall, when we are trying to talk to others about God in the Bible, or that we're trying to talk to people that don't know Jesus, and we're wanting to be intentional about their conversations, the whole point is that we want to be able to draw them into to God and the Bible, and to get them to realize that God and the Bible is the answer, that we're trying to connect their story, the story of their life, with the story of the Bible. We hope by doing this, we will draw them into fully reading the story of the Bible to discover the God of the Bible themselves. So that's why when we talk about having conversations with people who don't know Jesus, that's where we're headed. We're trying to connect where they are with what the Bible says on the subject, or what God in the story of the Bible has to say in connection to that.
So we've developed at CDM a tool called the Conversation Quadrant, just to help people understand and think through this progression of conversations. And we're not going to go super deep into retelling everything about the Conversation Quadrant, because today we want to focus on the discovery part of it, but we will just briefly touch on that. The first two quadrants of the Conversation Quadrant are casual and meaningful conversations. In these conversations, we're trying to listen very clearly or very carefully to where people are and listen to specifically to those points of human need and experience.
So, you know, this is actually something for me that why I have really loved apologetics and continue to love apologetics, because rightly understood, apologetics isn't about winning an argument. Mm-hmm. It's not about being able to impress people with the 25 facts as to why the scriptures are, you know, the Bible is a trusted historical text. You know, that is not the point of apologetics. The point of apologetics is to be able to find that place of doubt and uncertainty and to establish trustworthiness, so that people feel free to consider the God of the Bible. And so for me, especially as I'm talking with people, and even myself, as I went through a time and period in which I was doubting and seeking God and searching for Him in so many different ways, a lot of times it's all these things are just a means of trying to say, can I really trust the God of the Bible? I have people a lot of times who would ask me questions like, why would God, you know, supposedly a loving God in the Old Testament would just tell the Israelites to go and kill a bunch of people? You know, I don't understand how that works. So I can sit there and apologetically explain it to them, but with several questions like these from people, I look past some of their words and questions to what the real place of pain that is in them, or need or doubt, that says, can I really trust this God of the Bible? And so that's where we're trying to meet the needs. We're trying to talk with people to find the place of pain, need, decision, or doubt, and be it so that we can hopefully meet that them in that place.
Right. I think it's safe to say that what you're trying to do as well is to find that question that God has placed in their hearts, the one that just plagues them over and over and over again. And what I like about what we do as CDM is, rather than having to memorize some large argument tree or know every perfect response to every question, all we need to do is to help connect the right story, a good story in the Bible, one that came from our personal experience, with that question, that place of pain, that need or decision or doubt in their lives, and allow God to do that conversation too.
Right, because the thing is that when God is already working in their hearts. Now, maybe you're not looking for the one question, but whatever they're dealing with at that time, whatever particular question or human experience they have, you're trying to connect what God, the greater spiritual truth with that. That's what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. He saw where people were or what was happening at the moment, and then connected a grander spiritual truth with that moment. Like the woman at the well, she's coming to get water. She's the deeper need is that she's feeling isolated and just life is overwhelming, but the needs of life. And he says, I see you there. I see that. Well, I can tell you that there is water. There is something that satisfies all this, that, you know, when you drink of it, it will never run dry. So he's trying to connect the grand spiritual end with her personal whatever she's dealing with at the moment.
Yeah, and I think one of the big differences between what we're talking about and other presentational forms of evangelism is that they kind of enforce the topics of conversation from the outside. It's like me telling you what you're dealing with, as opposed to us. We want to guide the conversations from the inside out. I want to listen to you. While I'm listening to you, I'm asking the Father to reveal to me what's going on in your life, and then I'm responding to that. So we're trying to find out where they are so that we can bring them somewhere else. So instead of starting at the somewhere else and trying to force it upon where they are.
Exactly. So in a way, we want our conversations to be intrinsically motivated and not
extrinsically motivated.
Extrinsically motivated. Exactly, thank you for helping me out with that word there. I'm like, I thought it was extrinsically, but it's suddenly I was in a place of doubt.
It's like those moments where
place of doubt.
It's like like those moments where you write a word that you've written many times,
right.
Like the word
like
feel, and you're like, how am I supposed to spell
it? Like receive, E-I-I-E-V-V. You know, it's like suddenly crush. Yes. Well, so anyway, so the point is that, again, and this is something different than trying to have a formula and go in and try to force that person into that formula to be able to bring them to a certain end. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, but in order to be able to consistently have these conversations, you're going to have to know the Bible well. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to know the person well,
yeah,
to really be able to do this well. Why we tell people, don't necessarily rush the casual and meaningful stages, because you want to know the person well enough to be able to speak to their place of need.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting to know someone well, we think that's a time-bound thing, but it's not necessarily. There are times when you can be in somebody really, really quick and get to know them really well, depending on how open and vulnerable they are. And then there's times where you need a long periods of time to get to know anyone well. But it's the conversations, God using those conversations to indicate to us where we're at. And one of the next indicators that the conversation is ready to progress is that spiritual conversation. We talked about casual, then meaningful, and now we're going into spiritual.
Because so here, and we're going to be getting into discovery here, because this is where in the end, we want to try to get to discovery conversations if we at all have the time to be able to do so. Because this is the point of what we're trying to do. We usually make a distinction between just a spiritual conversation, discovery conversation, when a discovery conversation actually is where we tell a story of the Bible in connection to what is being said in the conversation, whereas spiritual is just merely us talking about spiritual things and our opinions and what we think the Bible says on that particular point without actually delving into the scriptures themselves in depth.
Yeah, I would think that it's safe to say that a spiritual conversation is really more of a testimony about how we have gone through something similar and this is our encounter with God, and that a discovery conversation is really focused on this is a story from the Bible that helped me through that particular situation. It gets
right.
The focus of the conversation, of a discovery conversation, is scripture, not us.
So, because really, again, ultimately, we want people to be experiencing the Bible for themselves and or seeing how the Bible itself is a place where they can find God, where they can find the answers, and they can be able to do that. So this is where we often have the disconnection. We're used to in Christianity this idea of spiritual talk where we give our particular opinion and beliefs and everything. But we don't actually tell a story in the Bible. We don't actually give a significant amount of scripture to where the person, it's more about the scripture than it is what I'm saying about the scripture, what I personally think that God is or how he is to me. So we want to not just merely give our beliefs and thoughts about God and the Bible or give our opinions about what the Bible says. We want to tell a story from the Bible itself so they can connect and experience God's word directly. And
absolutely.
Because the thing is, this actually mimics the experience of a DBS. So in DBS, this is what we want, right? Again, if you're at all a student or follow discovery evangelism, aka disciple-making methods, aka movement and methodology, if you're at all into those things, you understand that the DBS is all about getting people to read and discover God for themselves, this word, and let the Bible speak for itself. And so this particular type of conversation mimics that kind of experience that they would have with that. And so when we're having this conversation with the person, when we're having, and they're starting to bring up their point of pain or human experience or need, we ask ourselves in our mind and we're asking God to help us with these questions, and we say, you know, what story would they connect with in the Bible? You know, with whom in the Bible would they identify? Who would they identify
That's
with
right.
in the Bible? You know, what is their story? That's what we're telling ourselves or are asking God, okay, God, you know, what is the story that is really going to mean a lot to them right now?
Yeah, it's
and
very similar.
Undoubtedly, he'll bring it to your mind.
Right, and we just sit there and we're asking that question, even if it may be, you know, what is the story in this moment that you're wanting me to tell them that would best connect? Understanding that the Holy Spirit would know that better
right.
than you and I might guess. We might think they need a particular story, but God's saying they're nudging us going, no, I want you to tell this story instead. I think that you had an experience just like that recently when you were talking to a friend of yours, right?
Well, I don't know if recently, but you know, about a few months ago.
give or take a few months.
I think around six or something like that, but it's been a little while, but I think I've told this story before, but basically I have a friend, I won't tell her name at this particular point, but basically I've been befriending her. She's an amazing person, very very kind, very outgoing, but you know, she doesn't know Jesus at this point. And so she was really having problems with family issues and having to take care of aging parents and, you know, just really struggling with that. It's just, and not because she doesn't want to, but because it's strenuous emotionally and physically and on top of everything else. And so one particular time she was just crying because it was just so hard with everything that was going on. And in my mind, I was sitting there thinking, okay, God, what is her story? What is her story? What would she connect with? And I'm like, it's almost in my mind, I was going through the Rolodex of different stories in the Bible. Maybe this, well, maybe this, well, maybe that one. And then finally, it was just, you know, God just gave it to me. And I said, you know, you remind me of someone in the Bible. And she's like, who? I was like, her name's Ruth. You know, in the story of the Bible, she and her family went through all this trouble. You know, their husbands all died. They were in a famine. It was really bad. And here, let me just read this part to you. And I read the part in which Naomi was telling Ruth and Orpah to go away, to leave her. And, you know, and that Ruth says no. And I read the part where it says, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die. Hmm. And, you know, as I'm reading this, her tears just come down her face. And she's like, she's like me. She had to take care of her mama too. Hmm. And I was like, absolutely. And I told her, I was like, you know, because of her obedience and kindness to her mother-in-law, that God was able to take care of her and guided her, and she ended up being in the line to Jesus. She ended up being, you know, great, you know, many greats, grandmothers of the Messiah himself. And so, you know, God really cares about people who take care of other people like that. And so he cares about you and what you're going through. Oh, now, wow. Of course, this actually led to a discovery invitation that we're going to be talking about it, where I said, you know, I go through a lot of hard things too, and the only way that I can get through these hard times is through what I read inside the scriptures and how God helps me and meets me there. I really think it would help you too. Is this something that you might be interested in? And of course, she answered and said, absolutely. Yeah, I want to give it a shot. And so, anyway, be praying for this lady. We're still in that process, but that's just an example of God had a story for her, and she connected with a different person that had a similar human need and experience, and she connected with that point, and it guided her into wanting to read the Bible for herself.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of a story from my life. A while back, I used to live in Lubbock, Texas, and I had a lot of friends that were teachers. And every Friday, we would gather at the local Texas Roadhouse for those $2.50 margaritas and appetizers, you know, and just sit there and have a chance to process the week, because it was really rough. They were in a stressful situation. In fact, one of the ladies actually told us after a few months of doing this, she says, you know, my weekends are better after having these groups together, because she was just able to process everything and when she didn't have to take it home with her. Now, one of these particular events, one of the teachers brought her son, who had just become a teacher himself. It was in his first teaching position. And he came from kind of a broken home, didn't really have a good relationship with his dad. And we're just sitting there talking. And all of a sudden, our conversation moved into the Lord of the Rings movies, which had just come out at that time. So we're talking about the Lord of the Rings and everything. And I'm talking about how I love the stories of Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli and love men like that. And I said, you know, what's really cool is that there are men in the Bible who were just like that. And I had been reading that day the stories of the mighty men of David. And so I began to tell their stories, just saying, there's this one guy, he did this. And these two guys who were David's friends, they went and got him a drink because he just wanted it. And I was just telling the stories. And I said, and finally, God used all of these people to help build the modern day Jerusalem, to support David, the establishment of David's throne here on earth. Isn't that cool? And in that moment, I watched the veil over this guy's face kind of fall a little bit. And in it, God revealed to me that he had this significant hunger for that being a man like that. He wanted to know and to be a man like that. And I could see that. Now, that was before we did Discovery Bible Studies, before I knew a lot of stuff. And if I was back at that now, I would have invited him to read the scripture with me and to learn about the stories of these men, because the scriptures are full of men just like that who've done some pretty amazing things. And I believe that one of the calls of God is that we can do those things in today's day and age too. But that was another story. And then,
yeah, now before we get into this last story, which I think is a really great story, guys, in order to be able to have these discussions at all, you have to have the scriptures, you have to be filled with the scriptures.
That's right.
So, in other words, you need to read more. You know, one of the things that had completely changed my life was when I went from basically reading one chapter a day to reading more like six chapters a day. And that just completely changed. And then I usually, when I did do the six chapters a day, I take it now from different places in the Bible. And what this does is it just gets you really immersed in the story of the Bible and gives you more of a remembrance of all the different stories. Because, guys, if we only read a chapter a day or less, actually, or an even thing, how can we remember all the stories of the Bible in which we can connect people to? So this way, we're connecting through our own study of the scriptures to this, all the different stories in the Bible, and so that we can help other people do that too.
Yeah, and I can just add my testimony to yours in that. I've started doing that as well at your suggestion, so thank you for that. And about a year ago, I started reading through the Bible that way as well. And I can totally attest to the fact that even though I've been consistently reading at least a chapter from the Old and New for quite some time, when I upped it to about five or more chapters and from all over the Bible and got to, and in the course of a Bible, read the whole Bible in a year, but multiple parts multiple times, it really made an impact and has made it so much easier. When I come up to people, I'm asking God to show me what story to tell, not because I've forgotten stories, but because I'm trying to connect the wealth of stories that are already in my heart to what they're doing there. And I have found that when I fill that well of stories, the Holy Spirit is faithful to reach in that well and pull out the right story at the right time to help them in their next thing. If I wasn't filling that well, then the Holy Spirit wouldn't have much to draw from in this case, and I would be much less effective, and it'd be a lot harder and more awkward.
Right. It's because when we approach the Bible, we realize that, in a way, we're a part of this grand story of the Bible. Now that we have accepted Christ, our story is wrapped up into the story of the Bible. Because ultimately, the Bible is not just a textbook.
Yeah.
It's a storybook.
That's right.
A true one. And so, you know, we want to get to a place where the story of the Bible just spills out of us, that we read a lot of it, we apply it, we meditate on it, so it becomes the lens by which we see the world, that it's we're overcome by it. This is how we treat a lot of our stories that capture us already.
Right.
Movies, TV series, sports, and true inspiring events. I mean, if there are stories that just really capture our imagination and our lives, we start, hey, this reminds me a lot of that part of Harry Potter where blah, 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 blah. I mean, like, it just really starts coming out of our pores in so many different ways. And so can we get just as much wrapped up into the story of the scriptures so we can sweat and bleed and cry the scriptures?
That's right. And it doesn't mean you're weird and the answer to every question is some random crazy Bible verse and all of that. It just means that, man, it just flows from you and it speaks naturally a thing. In fact, I think that if you have to push it, that you're really, scripture hasn't become a part of you yet. That it's when you're sitting there in the moment, in that conversation, it just comes out.
Well, really what it is that if the Bible doesn't become a part of our experience, it's going to be really awkward to try to make it a part of somebody else's experience.
Yeah, that
is
exactly right.
So therefore, this is why the Bible has to become a part of our lives first. So, and also, if we're going to be having these particular conversations, we're going to need to be praying. We need to pray every day, God, help me to be able to have these kind of conversations with people. Pray for others so that they can have these kind of prayers with other people. And if we know that we're about ready to go out there and be with people that don't know Jesus, especially if it's in a specific engagement opportunity, let's be mobilizing prayer. Let's be asking the people within our prayer calendars and communities and stuff to be praying for us as we're about ready to go out in this way. Because these practices put you in a position to have stories from the Bible to share, to soften the heart to Jesus and his voice and help them connect everything together as you engage and disciple the lost. So, you know, Paul, you had us to wrap this all up. Paul, you had a great story of someone that you knew who had a great conversation.
Yeah, so there was a guy out there named Mike. I trained the guy who trained him. So he was second generation leadership from me. And he has a job out there in the normal world, just engaging people. And on a Friday nights, as is typical for people who have jobs, they all gathered at a local watering hole and were just sitting there shooting the breeze and talking. And one of Mike's coworkers, who wasn't following Christ, looked at Mike and said, "You know, hey, I had an interesting conversation with my therapist this week." And Mike's like, "Well, what'd you guys talk about?" And she goes, "Well, my therapist asked me, what do you think about having a higher power, if that's something if I've ever considered or not?" And Mike said, "Wow, that's a neat question. What did you say?" And she said, "Well, I just thought about that for a little while, and I realized that, you know, I grew up in a very religious, very strict Christian home, and I couldn't wait to get out of it. And just as soon as I could leave, I just turned my face away from it, and I've never thought about it ever since. But now that she asked me this question, it's really got me thinking." And Mike looked at her and he goes, "Yeah, you know, it's really important we consider questions like that." He said, "I think the big one, though, is, you know, do we believe that God likes us?" And the woman said, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "Well, a lot of people will accept the fact that God loves us. But does he really like us? That's a different question altogether." She's like, "Huh. God likes us." And Mike's like, "Yeah." And then Mike immediately started just sharing stories from Scripture, from the New Testament, of stories of God choosing to be with us, showing that he likes us, showing that he cares for us. And while he's doing that, all of a sudden, this young woman picks up her cell phone and begins to type on it as fast as her thumbs will. Mike kind of gets distracted and he's like, what are you doing? And she goes, "Oh, I'm texting my friends and saying that we need to get together sometime soon to learn and hear more about this God that likes us." And Mike immediately said, "You know, if I can help in that in any way, I'd love to be able to do that." Well, she said that she would, and then went about her time. And then it was really interesting. A few months later, Mike thought she had forgotten the whole encounter. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, she goes, "Hey, a bunch of friends are going to come over to my place to hear more about this God that likes us. Can you be there?" And it was like the day or two before. And he's like, "Okay." Cleared his schedule, showed up. She had brought a bunch of friends together. And Mike just began to tell story after story using an oral Bible study, Discovery Bible Study format, to tell these stories about the God that likes us and get them to interact. At the end of this, one of this young woman's friends comes up to Mike and he said, "I've been in the South all my life, and I know how these things were going to go down, and I knew what you were going to do trying to make us love God, you know, when you came here." And he stopped, and he looked at Mike, and he said, "But this was good. And I can't wait until we get a chance to hear more stories like this."
Mm-hmm.
You see, what Mike did is he listened to his friend.
Yeah.
He connected the Bible story with her story. And then when he connected with her friends later, it was about God and connecting to them. It wasn't about making a presentation or convincing them anything. And as a result, they recognized it as true and right.
Well, it's a different kind of presentation. It's presenting them to the God of the Bible and offering them an opportunity to get to know him. And so, because that's, as we understand, normally a longer process. And so anyway, I just think this is a great way for us to be able to think about it. How do we connect the God of the Bible and the Bible itself to the place where people have their places of human need and experience? So it could be something positive, like obviously the Lord of the Rings, or it could be something that is hurtful or something that is painful, as in with the story that I had with Esther. And sometimes it's just about big questions that they're already are starting to deal with. But the idea is we're letting where they are guide us to be able to help connect, make those connections instead of the opposite way. All right, I want to be able to do this. So right. I want to be able to talk about this. So, you know, it's a great day. It is a great day. Well, let me talk about this instead. You know?
Right. Nobody likes that.
Making some type of fake connection. So anyway, guys, I hope this proves helpful in this particular topic.
Yeah, we're super passionate about naturally connecting people and intentionally connecting people with the Bible, because we believe that the Spirit of God is living and active through His Word, and that it can help pierce any doubts that they might have and guide them into a lasting, fruitful life and walk with Jesus. This has been the CDM Podcast. I'm Paul Watson. This is my co-host, Beck Ewing. We are super glad to have you listening to us today, and we would love for you to subscribe. We'd love for you to leave a review if you can on iTunes or Podbean, because that helps get the word out about the podcast. And if you want to subscribe so you can hear all of our premium content and past content, it's $5 a month through our Patreon page. And we are super glad. Go out, make disciples, and transform your world.
Thanks for listening to the CDM Podcast and for supporting us on Patreon. For coaching or other resources, connect with us at contagiousdisciplemaking.com. Join us in the journey of becoming world-changing disciple makers.